pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Thanks for being with us on this Monday morning. Hour number two begins right now. Dale Jackson will be with us in about a half hour. He, Huntsville Radio, WVNN, and Yellowhammer News. Text line 251-343-0106. You want to be in touch with the show? That's what you do. You text me, and I'll do my best to respond to whatever it is that is on your mind. We'll get to some of these texts, then we'll move on to some other topics here. See, Josh asked, did Bubba in the news not kill NASCAR? I never watched it, but I am kind of a fan since a few past family members used to run moonshine. I think that didn't help. I was actually there that day. It was Talladega. The race had gotten rained out. They had to run it again on Monday. But they... And I remember this is when they had just banned the Confederate flag at the race. And there were, I guess somebody had purchased an airplane with a banner, and it was a Confederate flag banner that was circling the speedway. And it rained out. It was right in the middle of COVID too. So they only opened up the stands to a slight number of people, and they had it was so dystopian at a NASCAR race. They had guys making sure you had your stupid mask on. But they got rained out, and then they started talking about the news and the news story, and then somebody did the sleuthing and showed... They found some video, some footage of the same like string meant to pull down a garage door from the last race. And determined it was a freak out. And Bubba Wallace, I've been to probably five or six races since then. I mean, he still gets booed. But I think that did some damage to it. It's just not, the personalities are not, I mean, obviously the gold standard personality was Dale Earnhardt, not his son, or Richard Petty. But they're just not interesting personalities. When NASCAR became this sport, and I'm sorry to get on this tangent here, where it wasn't just everyday blue-collar guy getting in a stock car going out on a track. And it became like, you know, it became professional race car drivers. It was really like the Jeff Gordonification of NASCAR. I mean, it started to lose some of its appeal. I started watching it. I remember I was in college. And what better sporting event was there where you had the prayer while you had a cooler full of adult beverages, and it was easier to root for the personalities. But anyway, I digress. Butterknife, voting in Alabama is not thrilling. Our elected officials don't really do much other than say, we love Trump. I support Trump. Well, so they poll it. And that's why people respond to Butterknife. I know it's like off-putting and you want a little more substance. I think there's a lot of just casual observers of politics. And Donald Trump made a lasting impression. That people talk about voter behavior. And let's kind of walk you through the Trump phenomenon. You'll get more people out to vote against something than you will for something, which is generally true. There are exceptions like a Barack Obama or something like that throughout our history. what Donald Trump did, either by accident or you know, intentionally, is he became the face of people voting against something. That the system was stacked in favor of corporate interest. It was this weird collusion of big business and left-wing political institutions wanting to increase their numbers at the ballot box with illegal immigration. It was trade deals that benefited China and a few select people in the stock market. It was just sort of the system that seemed to be rigged against the average man. And people wanted to vote against that. And Donald Trump assumed the role as the face of that. And he married this rule that more people will vote against something than for something, and kind of captured that. And then it became a cultural phenomenon on top of that. And the more that the left pushed back against it, the more entrenched his support became. That, you know, you're not going to like this guy. He's a racist. He's a bigot. You're not supposed to like him. And that just sort of doubled down people's resolve for Donald Trump. It's the fable of the wind and the sun. And the more the wind blew, the tighter the man held on to his jacket. And that became the phenomenon. Donald Trump continues to this day, when you poll it, to be something that people can rally behind, identify with. And if you're running down ballot, this shows up. I mean, this mentality, this is the prevailing wisdom of the day in a lot of states. And your objective here, butter knife, is to win. And that becomes what really now there's a lot of lazy consulting who, and I would say, you know, like a Jay Mitchell, that don't really look at the nuance of it and just operate on some, you know, some test marketed assumptions done in a boardroom with a focus group at Des Moines, Iowa, or wherever, and run a campaign off of that. That doesn't necessarily work. How has Trump improved the lives of the average person in Alabama? My 401k is doing great, but I can't touch any of that money. I think his biggest success, to be honest, is going to be illegal immigration. Maybe you don't notice it, but, you know, I hear that some of the drug trafficking on the streets has been curbed. You don't have these big caravans hanging out under an underpass with the Biden administration and Alejandro Mayorkas telling us there's nothing to see here. That they have secured the border. So I think that's going to be his crowning achievement. The economy was hopefully going to be it, but I think the Iran situation, it's a weird phenomenon because the American economy should not be held hostage to U.S. foreign policy regarding Israel and Iran. Their economy is so big. And this may not be the reality. This may be a product of the markets doing things that are irrational. Sometimes the markets can't act irrationally. Butterknife adds, I don't notice it because I work with illegal immigrants every day for a large company. But there are illegal immigration problems in a lot of places around the country that maybe you don't see it directly in Alabama. Mike, Downtown Mobile is covered with the debauchery flag and promoting their sinful practices. I would expect it to be out in front of the Nappy Boys headquarters of the Lutheran Episcopal Church, but they literally surrounded the Archdiocese office and the cathedral as well. Jason. Good morning, Jeff. Scrollverine is right. Downtown is littered with those rainbow banners. The filth can't be tolerated. It goes against the supposed family values portrayed by Spiro during his mayoral campaign. Is this something he and the council approved? If so, they all have to go. DEI Texter says, you sure sound triggered over the removal of it, as you call democratic imagery. It is democratic imagery. I'm not triggered by it. I'm just saying, if we're going to have a standard, we're going to take down the Raphael Sims statue because some people find it objectionable, and we're going to do it without any kind of due process in the dark of night. Why is that standard not applied to LGBTQ imagery? What am I missing here? Why is that not a double standard? That if a group of people say, hey, we don't like this, the Confederacy lost, it's time to move on. Well, it doesn't really matter why they say it, but they say it. And the city responded. Why aren't they responding if the same number of people? Now, maybe it's not the same number of people here. Maybe that's it. But it does seem like there is a double standard. Scrollverine. I remember back in the 1990s hearing about how NASCAR sponsors expanded from tobacco and sodas and beer and tools. Anyway, WKRG had a story about Pride banners last week, the same rhetoric about increasing visibility as if those people are hidden in hiding. It's very weird for an adult man with a husband to be interested in kids seeing flags and stuff so he can feel comfortable. It's like cultivating for fresh meat. I'm fine with the live and let live. It's not that I object to the LGBTQ lifestyle. I mean, yes, it's not something I would ever condone at all. But I do recognize we live in a free country. What I don't like is the state sponsorship of it. Unless you live in a place where that's what the people there want. But at some point, it's clear there is enough of a backlash against it that they need to rethink this. It's a double standard. And my guess is that enough of you will raise objections to this and it'll become an issue at the next city council meeting and you'll have to rethink it. A lot of these guys just don't want to deal with the hassle. They don't want to deal with the controversy. Ah, not another LGBTQ Pride Month controversy. We just want to get back to approving city projects and pickleball courts or whatever. Are they okay some of this for the sake of just getting these people to go away? And he turned that car around. Which is just a... that's not a great practice, but that's what I think goes on. 251-343-0106. We'll look at more of your text on the other side. Stick around. This is the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Mister. The whole world called me Hank. He said, welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show with FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Monday morning. Dale Jackson coming up in the next segment, so stick around for that. In the meantime, 251-343-0106. Ultra Runner, They are suing to stop the UFSC event at the White House. I remember the White House event where a comatose Biden swayed to music while a bearded black man wearing a sequin dress danced. I can't see losing the midterms to these loons, and I can't see them winning that lawsuit. There's a lot of nuisance stuff going on here. I guess it's just a product of the fight. Why isn't our side suing to keep pride events happening on the South Lawn of the White House? We just don't do that. B-Dark, outlawing the Confederate flag is like stealing American history. DI texture, those things aren't remotely the same. Talk about the imagery of the LGBTQ and the Confederate flag. Well, but I think it's the analogy is not so much the merits of the what the images represent. Instead, any number of people who are citizens who pay taxes object to them. It's not just like one or two chronic malcontents. There really are some cultural objections that aren't being respected here. The registered Republicans on the council, Beau Richards, Josh Woods, and Ben Reynolds are too wimpy to say anything, referring to the LGBTQ imagery. I don't know. I haven't asked them. Toothless Bammer, the economy is different from the stock market. Two separate things. Yeah, but I do think the stock market does need to have, you can't have a failing stock market and a thriving economy at the same time. But I think what it is, Toothless Bammer, and you're right, I mean, it's not necessarily, the two are not necessarily that intertwined. Stock market could be doing well, and the economy overall may be ho-hum. But the markets are, there's a lot of, like, I don't know if it's necessarily panic, but uncertainty at least, consumer sentiment, questions. When you talk about consumer sentiment, people look at the markets and the markets are erratic and they're doing crazy things, big swings, oil prices way high. Does have a psychological impact. I think that's been an impediment to this economy. I think that's a big part of what Trump needs to do. Let's get that resolved. That's interesting, the whole fallout with Israel, I don't know, Netanyahu, and these leaked messages. I think there's more trouble there behind the scenes than what we understand between Israel and the United States right now. Michael, DEI is right. They're not the same. One was trying to form a new nation. The other is celebrating debauchery and sin. DEI texture. Most folks object to your religious imagery, yet it's everywhere. Suck it up, buttercup. Well, no, the religious imagery is done on private property. See, this is where you're, like, conflating things for the sake of your hollow argument. The religious imagery is private property. We're talking about a state-condoned, state-sanctioned display on public right-of-way, on government land, in parks. We're not talking about the cathedral. We're not talking about the First Baptist Church. I know this is, I know you get this too, DEI texter. I know you understand this, but you think you're making a cogent argument here, and you're just not. It's not the same thing. It's two very different things. So I don't know why you're celebrating this. Are you just, are you that passionate about the LGBTQ issue? Is that your thing? He adds, public schools are not private. City council and county commission chambers are not private. Exclamation point. That's what people voted for. They have discretion. They don't like the people in those chambers and they vote somebody out. That's not going to bring those religious images in. 251-343-0106. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5. With us on this Monday morning. Text line, we'll be in touch with the program, 251-343-0106. Joining us on the line now, we do this every Monday. We're hearing from Dale Jackson, WVNN, and Yellowhammer News. Dale, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Thrilled to be here. It's been an interesting day so far. We are, what, a week and a day out? And then I am 2 days from heading down to your old stomping grounds at Auburn to watch my beloved Argentina football team.
Of all the things, Iceland. You're going to do your show there, right?
No, I got to get back for a meeting. Believe it or not, the business of radio is kind of dumb. It's like, hey, we need you back here for this meeting more so than your show. Can you have someone else host your show? So, Jeff, can you host my show for me that day?
Yeah, I'm busy that day.
Okay. But yeah, I'm very excited about it. My kid plays soccer. He likes it. I mean, whatever. It sounds like a fun event. 70,000 plus people are going to be watching a soccer game at Jordan Hare. That seems kind of cool.
Have fun at that.
Oh my God, Jeff. All right.
I just not into it.
Well, is your kid into soccer at all?
Nah, he tried, but nah.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm excited about it. Anytime my wife gets a chance to run back to her old stomping grounds, that's a good opportunity for us to do so.
Well, you know, there's football, basketball, and baseball season.
I go to those games too. I'm going to the Florida game this year too.
Well, have fun at the soccer match or game or whatever it's called.
Okay.
I'll expect a full report
next week. Next week.
I can't wait for that. I'm so excited. Hey, let's start here while we are in the throes of a primary runoff here with a week and a day. Hey, is this where they get Tommy Tuberville here with the...
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
The barcode or whatever it is?
Listen. Here's the reality of this. And I've stressed this enough, and I'm going to continue saying it. You ever notice that Kyle Whitmire isn't actually making an accusation? Do you ever notice that? He's not actually making any accusation. He's just saying things in a smug voice with a silly face. And he is just basically, he's not actually saying anything about did Tommy Tuberville committed voter fraud or any of that stuff. He's just saying stuff like, man, shouldn't Tommy Tuberville respond to this? And then he does. And then they go, well, that's an interesting response. Bazoing. Wouldn't it be interesting that this raises more questions than it does answers? And that's basically where we are. So the innuendo and the lack of actual allegation leads me to believe one thing. Much like Kyle Whitmire's life in general, they got nothing. And I think that there may be some editors at AL.com who are going, we can't just make a baseless allegation. You can use all the innuendo you want, but you're not going to accuse him of voter fraud. And that's where we're at right now.
Well, and so there was a Lanyap story, and this came out Friday.
That they cribbed it from, yeah.
That's right. Yeah, essentially, Lanyap did all the work, which is how it usually goes with those guys. But, it's not a good look. There's some loose ends that need to be tied up. But it's not the smoking gun that I think – I mean, maybe I'm missing something here.
Well, he doesn't even think it's a smoking gun because he's not saying it is.
I mean, he had rental income. I guess his only income was from a movie, and then he had rental income. But here's the deal, and this is right when you hired me on VNN, and this was 2019, and I remember seeing Tommy Tuberville a lot around Huntsville at political functions. That was sort of the game, right? You're on the radio. You need to go meet people, go to stuff. And Tommy Tuberville was there. And that was, you know, like, it wasn't like he just like came in like last week and moved to Alabama to run for governor. It seems like he's been around for the entirety of these 7 years.
Yeah, it's baseless nonsense meant to muddy the waters so other people, and we're seeing a lot of this lately, so other people will make the accusation for them. So I, you know this, and I know this, and you know our social media shows it. You'll post something, or maybe something will come about Tupperville, and they'll be like, "Oh yeah, but what about this?" And it's Kyle Whitmire's stupid face being stupid.
Yeah, it's just not really.
But then they make the accusation that it's voter fraud.
It's so just creating the narrative and the innuendo and let correct. But it's not going to work.
I agree.
You may win the court of public opinion on left-wing Twitter
or Reddit
or wherever, but you're not going to win the steering committee fight, and then you're not going to win the way this goes. It would be challenged because I just really tell my audience all the time, you can run for governor. You know, the qualifications are up to the party. It's can you be governor? And by the time he would be standing on the Capitol steps being sworn in, I think the boxes are checked.
Yeah, the whole thing's baseless. It's just an attempt to try to basically Roy Moore this situation. And Kyle Whitmire doesn't have the stroke to do it. That's the truth of the matter. Is he just doesn't have the stroke to pull it off. And he knows it. You know it. I know it. It's just not there. And, you know, like Kyle Whitmire's dad said to him a long time ago, son, you just don't have it. All right?
Well, let's, for the sake of this discussion, let's say somehow or another Tommy Tuberville is ruled ineligible to be governor.
Well, then Kyle Whitmire becomes governor.
I mean, what is your, you're taking this away from an overwhelming majority of voters.
To save democracy.
Yeah. I mean, you're getting him on a technicality. Good job, guys. It's a struggle here to like really understand like, well, what's the objective here actually?
Oh, the objective, I'll tell you what I think the objective is. The objective is to basically come up with story after story after story after story about Tommy Tuberville and kill him via death from a thousand cuts. I mean, that's all it is. And they're just going to do it all the time. You're going to see the same three stories over and over and over again. Insider trading.
That's not going to work.
Okay. Then you're going to see he doesn't live here. That's not going to work. Then you're going to see voter fraud. That's not going to work. And then what's the next thing? Some woman comes out of nowhere and says, Tommy Tuberville touched me. I mean, as terrible as that sounds, that is what this looks like it is. And Doug Jones exists in a modern Alabama politics because they did that to Roy Moore and it worked. That's the only reason that guy exists is because they did Roy Moore. And the idea that Roy Moore was trolling the mall in Gadsden sounds funny, but there's no evidence to indicate that. It's just an allegation.
And it went away. I mean, it immediately went away.
Yep.
So, I mean, but the difference is the election in 2017, there was nothing on the ballot. No one was going to come out solely to vote for Roy Moore, apparently.
Right.
However, there's a Senate, Lieutenant Governor, Attorney General, Ag Commissioner, and on down the ballot. People are going to come out and vote, and they'll just check the Republican box.
Right. And look, they're going to try to sell this. I mean, this is their entire thing is that their goal is to just make it to where they can continuously say the same things over and over and over again and hope they can get somewhere. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. What's the alternative here? Did these guys, get a real job? I mean, Kyle Whitmire's not going to do that. His wife has the big girl job. He's just hanging out in the basement in Washington, D.C. He is essentially just doing the bidding of the Alabama Democratic Party in a state he doesn't even want to live in. So, I mean, it's just ridiculous nonsense. But he is going to kind of push this. And I keep mentioning Kyle Whitmire because he's the only one doing it. Everything flows for some reason from the AL.com opinion page. And it's because the other members of the media are just lazy. And they haven't even hit this whole thing. So they're trying to make critical mass. And unfortunately, we pay too close attention to this stuff. Because if you just went on your social media and blocked out Kyle Whitmire and anyone talking about Kyle Whitmire, you would never know this existed.
Yeah, I agree. Hey, the other big election controversy although there is a an Alabama angle there, but Barry Moore and his military service seems to be the hot topic today. It's becoming to me like a he said thing. I don't know. It's hard for me to understand. I think he's a veteran. I mean, but how, you know, did he misrepresent it? Does it matter?
If he misrepresented it, it does matter. But to what degree does it matter is like the question I think that actually has to be asked. To what degree does this matter to people? And to some, it will matter greatly. I mean, it really will. It will matter a lot. To some, people will be like, you know, whatever. And that's a completely fair way to see it as well. My understanding of this particular issue, and again, we're just in the beginning of the last week here, right? And you're going to see a lot of, I think, energy put into this particular issue. It's my understanding that Barry Moore was a cadet, and cadets are essentially in the National Guard. That's sort of one of the things. They're paid as E6s, and that is essentially, and like an active National Guard stance is where they're at. And they're kind of, for lack of a better way to put this, in the Army as they're training. And they're paid as E6s. So your pay grade is E6. Were you ever a staff sergeant? No. And just a little color on that. I don't know how deep you want to go into this. When I was in the Army for 4 years, I made E5 after 3. And that was kind of a hard charging position to be in. You know what I mean? So getting 6 after 31 months, it would be pretty amazing. And that's not someone that doesn't fulfill, quote unquote, the obligation and go on to pin the second lieutenant and stuff like that and go on to some form of service in the regular Army. So is he a veteran? I mean, probably technically, yeah. There's one of these arguments. Oh, he didn't. I see someone say, he said he wore combat boots. Well, he did. I wore combat boots and had my feet up playing Mario Kart in Thailand. I was doing my telecom job. I was wearing combat boots, though, and playing Mario Kart. So I'm a veteran. I did 4 years. Barry Moore sounds to me like he's a veteran, but does it sound like it was misrepresented? Yeah, but in what way can you get this message across? Can you just buy a bunch of ads and bombard people? Yes. If you're saying stuff like, you know, he misled about his service, maybe he did. If he says he was a staff sergeant and he wasn't, I haven't heard that, but that seems to be some of the argument.
No, he signed some letter and identified him as a staff sergeant.
As an E6, yeah, staff sergeant. So that's not great. That's not great. I'll be honest. I'm gonna tell you something Yaffe told me last night. Yaffe told me last night, we were kind of talking about this, and he said to me, Yaffe's a talk show, for those who don't know. Just one of the many people in my orbit. And he told me that he didn't even know Barry Moore was in the military. Like, he was like, this was not part of his origin story that I really see him promoting.
Really dining off of it. It's not like not like Jared Hudson is with his Navy SEAL service, which is an admirable, you know, quality.
And he should dine off that. That's badass. Yeah, I mean, that's you do that. I got no problem with that either. But to me, it's complicated. There's like an individual ready reserve part of this, and it's just like,
that's the problem. It's so complicated.
Right. And let me just say this. I'll leave you with this, Jeff, and if you want to go any further, we can. I did 4 years in the regular Army. I did a year in the reserves. I did nothing of note. But everyone who joins basically signs an 8-year contract, and at the end of my regular time, I had 4 more years left in the individual ready reserve. And basically what that means is if they're going to start doing like a draft or calling people back and stuff, I'm obligated to go, and they're probably going to call me first. I mean, that's the modern way we understand it. The fact they didn't call me after 9/11 made me feel like a loser, I'll just be honest with you. But I joined the reserves afterwards because of that, but I swear I that day I was like, oh great, I'm getting a phone call, and it never came. But I would never say I was in the military for 8 years. I would say I did 4 years active, 1 year reserve. Okay, that's how I would say it. Counting that individual ready reserve time as time when you're not drilling, you're not doing anything, you're not getting paid, you're not doing anything is a mistake.
Would you ever say you served an 8 year contract?
No, that's not how you talk.
Because that's how he's, and this is based on some of the audio I've heard. He says, I served my 6 year contract.
I don't even know if I read it that way either, because did he complete his cadet course? Did he become a second lieutenant?
I don't know.
No, it sounds like that he got released to go into the private sector. There's nothing wrong with that. That happens. But I don't know if he ever pinned the second lieutenant, because if he did, he probably would have signed his paperwork that, or he probably would have signed that letter that, right?
This is the question, because it becomes a question.
He was in officer training is what he was in.
Right. A question of like stolen valor, but like, does he check the box to be a veteran?
So truthfully, I don't view him as a veteran. Okay. That is just, you know, Dale Sixpack, right? I don't view him as a veteran. Is he misleading people with how he framed it? Someone is. I mean, that kind of sounds like it, but it's not like, again, I'm going to vote for Barry Moore. Okay, I'm going to say that right now, but this does bother me a little bit based on the current information that is available, if that turns out to be as it is. And I went on social media last night and said, this looks like just desperation.
It does look desperate because of the timing of it, right?
Right. But you could be right and still desperate.
Yeah, well, fine. I mean, but this is, now we're going to roll with this. Why wasn't this brought up much earlier in the campaign?
Right.
We're running a little long here, Dale. Folks want to find you online. How can they do so?
YellowhammerNews.com. I'm always there doing videos every single day. Got one on Tommy Tuberville coming out today. And also you can find me on social media at the Dale Jackson.
Dale Jackson, ladies and gentlemen, let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5. Welcome back to the Joe Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Monday morning. 251-343-0106. Dick Brubaker coming up in the next hour, so stick around. Broadcasting in Montgomery, downtown Montgomery. The window open here. It's an overcast day in Montgomery, but it seems like every day is an overcast day in Montgomery, Alabama. DI Texter, what happened to conservatives meaning staying out of people's life, personal life? And I don't think that's the case here. No one is saying, hey, what's going on in your bedroom and your personal life is something we need to ban or outlaw. I mean, maybe somebody's saying that, but I think generally speaking, DEI Texter, that when you have these displays on public property, that we all, as the public, have, you know, skin in the game here. And this includes libraries and parks and places like that, public right-of-ways, that you don't want to condone a certain behavior. The behavior may exist, and it may be completely legal and, you know, allowed in our country. But when you put the city or the state or the county seal of approval on it, that's where you draw objections from people. That's where you got to be careful. And that's why when we did this, what, 20 years ago with the Confederate flag in Mobile. I still remember it. That you're offending a set of people. People are, well, it's our history and the merits, but we as the public decided this is the direction we were going to go. Well, then where does this come from? And then I don't know the answer to this question. Now I'm talking to a very select group of people here, DEI Texture, a conservative radio show audience. But are the people of Mobile in this circumstance wanting this display of imagery? Is this something that this was sort of done at the behest of the public? It's not that the behavior not be allowed or whatever and staying out of people's personal life. It is celebrating it. Is this something that warrants these celebratory images of public property? 251-343-0106. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5.
Somebody take me home through